Hallelujah. We thank God for His presence and for once again giving us opportunity to gather together in His name, in His presence. Hallelujah. So let's continue in His presence. And let us continue. Let us continue in the Word of God. And we are going to look at the sword of the Spirit and the shoes of the gospel of peace. The sword of the Spirit and the shoes of the gospel of peace. Ephesians chapter number 6 again. We are here at Ephesians chapter number 6. And it says verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Hallelujah. So, the parts of the armor, I told you that the helmet, the breastplate and the shield of faith are the protective parts of the armor. The belt is the connecting part or the foundation. And then there is the sword and the shoes. The sword and the shoes cannot be used if the protective and the connective parts of the armor is not in place. If the helmet, breastplate and the shield and the belt, a person is not equipped thoroughly to handle and to use those parts, he cannot go ahead with using the sword and the shoes, because the sword and the shoes is where really the wrestling or the fighting ministry starts. It is for conquering, it is for advancement, and it is for launching attacks against the kingdom of the devil, or against the kingdom of the enemy. Okay, hallelujah. Now you have to see that the armor has significance from the beginning, and God wanted His servants and His children. The reason why He chose Israel to be a nation, because He wanted Israel to be a nation of priesthood, a nation of royal priesthood, God's own special people, a nation of priesthood, a army of God, which can bring the dominion of God on the face of the earth. That is the intention of God for choosing Israel. That is the intention of God, why God helped Moses, helped the people of Israel to come out of Egypt, because the plan of God for His people was not in Egypt. Was not to keep them in bondage and slavery so that they can work 9 hours, 10 hours, 11 hours, 12 hours a day and earn their living, eat food and go to sleep. No, that is that normal routine that the people of God were doing. That is not God's plan. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? That is not God's plan. God's plan for His people is that His nation should be a nation of priests. Originally, God wanted the whole of Israel to be priest, but I don't have time, but you will see that whenever there was the rebellion of the people of Israel, the Levites stood up for God, the tribe of the Levi. Moses was from the tribe of Levites, and Aaron also was from the tribe of the Levites. So whenever there was, even during the golden calf, hallelujah, the people started to worship the golden calf. When Moses came down, he saw they were worshipping the golden calf. The people who were on the side of God and came on the side of Moses were the Levites. Hallelujah. Originally, the now Levites Even when you see the blessing of Jacob, that is Israel, when Jacob was blessing all the children, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Gad, Naphtali, and all the tribes of Israel, you will never see that he released a blessing of priesthood. Or you will never see in the Bible that originally Levites were the one who were called for priesthood. They became the priest of God by their faithfulness to God. Okay, but originally it was the will of God for the whole of Israel to become a nation of priests, to become an army, hallelujah, of the spirit realm, putting on the armor of God. Stay with me. That is the reason he brought them out of Egypt and was taking them to the conquest of Canaan, to capture Canaan. And they, the strategy to capture Canaan was not primarily a weapon or a physical army strength. We will see that the strategy to capture Canaan, to conquer Canaan, was the strategy of the sword and the shoes. Hallelujah. The strategy of the sword and the shoes. So basically, sword of the spirit at that time was the is the word of God, and it's also signifying of the Ark of the Covenant which they carried, which had the commandments, the word of God inside of it physically. That was the sword at that time. Are we understanding? Okay, listen to me. The shoes of the gospel of peace is a ministry of evangelical priesthood. Okay, it's a ministry of prayer, priesthood, and to be more specific, evangelical priesthood. How many of you know Isaiah chapter number 52, I think verse number 6 says, how beautiful are the feet of those who come from the mountain to bring good tidings. Now these evangelists are coming from the top of the mountain. They are coming after they have ministered to the Lord. They are coming down now with the good news. I remember the one of the great evangelists the world has ever seen, evangelist Reinhard Bonnke. He said that that if an evangelist is not an intercessor, he's standing on one leg. He's standing on one leg and he cannot walk properly. He will fall. Intercession and evangelism goes together. That is what this great evangelist said. Hallelujah, who had a vision of the blood-washed Africa. He said, intercession and evangelism are the two legs on which you have to walk if you are an evangelist. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Because we don't know. It's not about the big speakers we used on the crusade ground to preach. It's about the priesthood ministry that backs the evangelism. And actually, the evangelism will be successful only when you are good in the priesthood ministry, when your feet are the feet of the priest, shod with the shoes of the gospel. Hallelujah. Only when you have, with intercessor, broken the strongholds over that area, over that territory, will then only that the Lord, the gospel of the Lord, will be able to work in that place. When demonic principalities are being resisted in that place, priesthood is the backup of evangelism. So the shoes of the gospel of peace signifies of a evangelical priesthood ministry. The next name that I want to give to it is the sword and the shoes are basically the ministry of word and prayer. That is the sword of the spirit and the shoes of the gospel of peace. The ministry of word and prayer. Hallelujah. With which a person will be able to advance in the demonic territories. Hallelujah. Defeating them and capturing the land to bring the jurisdiction of heaven, to bring the kingdom of God in those places. Are we together? So God originally, the purpose, why is God doing so much of work and bringing plagues on Egypt and taking his people out of Egypt, because it is the will of God that this people, his nation will become a nation who will originally operate in the whole armor of God. Okay, stay with me. Hallelujah. But they were not able to. The people of Israel who came out of Egypt, when they came out of Egypt in the wilderness, that was the place where God was trying to equip them to handle and to use and to be equipped thoroughly in using the helmet, the breastplate, and the belt and the shield, the protective and the connective parts of the armor. God was training them for those things, but they did not put on the protective part, or did not use, or what were not trained in the protective parts of the armor. That is why constantly they were attacked in their mind. They were saying, "Oh, why no water, Moses? Oh, why no meat, Moses? Oh, we want to go back to Egypt, Moses. No helmet." Hallelujah. The salvation that the Lord accomplished for them was by bringing them out of Egypt. When they were at the Red Sea and were going to come out of the boundaries of Egypt through the water, the journey that they made through the waters of the Red Sea was the baptism they had. Hallelujah. The salvation when they were at the Red Sea and when they went through the Red Sea was the baptism they had. That salvation, that work of God, they did not turn it as a helmet over their heads, and they were still getting attacked by the spirits of Egypt, by the pleasures of Egypt. Hallelujah. They were still getting attacked in their heart by going to do the idol worship and building the golden calf and obeying the traditions of Egypt. They did not wear the breastplate for 40 years in the wilderness. There was not the belt of truth. God was speaking to them from the mountains. God was speaking to them through Moses. But they did not took the doctrine of God seriously. The belt of truth was not in place. Are we understanding? They did not have faith in the words that God was given to them. They did not have faith in the promises that God was giving to them. So they did not carry the shield of faith. Do we see that? Hallelujah. So, because the people of Israel were not equipped in the shield of faith, in the breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, that's why that generation, which were not able to use the protective and connecting parts of the armor, were not thoroughly equipped in those areas, they all died in the wilderness. They all died in the wilderness. Listen to me, the armor of God, the sword and the shoes, don't even talk about it. If you are not able to protect your mind and your heart and your life first, don't even talk about using the sword and the shoes and going into the enemy's territory and conquering territories and doing ministry. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. Amen. So when the helmet, breastplate, belt, and shield are in place, a warrior can use the sword and the shoes to march forward and to conquer demonic territories. Hallelujah. First, God will make you a defensive person. Hallelujah. First of all, whether you are able to defend your faith, whether you are able in your personal life, in your day-to-day routine life, whether you are able to handle small demons, whether you are able to handle your ancestral demons, you know, as per me, the ancestral line demons are small demons as per me. The big demons are one who are sitting on the nations. Those are the big ones. Hallelujah. But first, he will not give you the sword and the shoes to go to attack those ones. He will not give you the sword and the shoes to go and preach the gospel and save people. No. First of all, what he will start to do to you is in a phase, in a season in your life, he will teach you to combat with powers that are attacking your heart and mind and your life. And when you are thoroughly equipped, when you are thoroughly equipped in the helmet, in the breastplate, the belt of truth and the shield of faith in your life, he will start to turn you into an attacking warrior. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Amen. From that bunch of the people of Israel, there were two who were thoroughly trained, who were thoroughly trained and equipped in the protective and the connecting parts of the armor. Those people are Joshua and Caleb. Hallelujah. They never gave into the spirits of Egypt. They never collaborated with the people of Israel and said, oh, we also want to go back. They stuck to the word of God. They protected their mind with the helmet of salvation. They protected their heart with the breastplate of righteousness. You see, Joshua and Caleb were ready to go and march into the promised land and conquer Canaan. Out of the 12 spies, you remember? This other spies were not ready to go in. They said, we want to go back to Egypt because we are like grasshoppers before the giants of the land of Canaan. They did not have the shield of faith. They did not have the helmet of salvation. And God said, enough is enough. This generation, Moses tell them, this generation, or that generation were the men of war that came out of Egypt. Do you know that? I will come to the scripture. They were originally the men of war, but they all died in the wilderness until a new generation arose, which will be led by this man, Joshua, and also Caleb. Joshua and Caleb had the shield of faith because they said, why are you, they said to the people of Israel, why are you speaking like this? Hasn't God told us that God will give the land into our hands? Those giants are looking like giants, but God has given us his word that we will defeat them. So let us go in. So they were ready to walk in the path of righteousness, what I was telling yesterday, the breastplate of righteousness. Remember that? Hallelujah. What is righteousness? Righteousness is walking in the path of God. Remember that? So they were ready to walk in the path of God. Their mind was protected because the spirit of Egypt were not impacting their mind. And thirdly, they had the shield of faith. They believed that they can defeat. They believed that God is greater than those giants. They believed that God is greater than the enemy. Hallelujah. Joshua and Caleb. Hallelujah. Joshua did not become a leader just in 1 year, 2 years of pastoral training or 3 years of Bible college. He did not become a pastor after that. God kept him to use, to test him in the breastplate, in the helmet, hallelujah, the belt and the shield for years. And after Joshua and Caleb were tested by God, and God saw that they are well equipped and well versed to handle and to use the protective parts. Now, let me give them the sword and the shoes. Hallelujah. Are we understanding, people? Okay. We are talking about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, than the shoes of the gospel of peace. Hallelujah. Two people who were passed the test and were thoroughly equipped with the protective and the connecting parts of the armor were now given the authority of the sword and the shoes. Once you have the sword and the shoes, oh my God, whatever, even if Lucifer comes and stops you, he cannot stop you because you have the sword and you have the shoes. That man cannot be stopped. He becomes unstoppable. And that's why God told Joshua, wherever what? The sole of your foot, that is the shoes, that is the priesthood ministry. Wherever what? The sole of your foot treads upon, that land will be given to you. And the second thing the Lord told in Joshua chapter 1 is to Joshua, meditate on the Lord day and night. Meditate on the Lord, the word. Meditate on it, because that word will be your sword with which you will destroy the enemy. Hallelujah. The sword and the shoes to march forward and to conquer territories. Are we together? Hallelujah. I've written down some things that the Lord was telling me. One of the thing is, you cannot get into the attacking mode when your defense is not in place. When you cannot get into the attacking mode when your defense is not in place. You can't attack and start wrestling with principalities, powers, etc. when you are not thoroughly equipped and trained to use the helmet, breastplate, belt, and shield. Hallelujah. When your own heart, mind, and life is not protected, don't march forward to attack. Hallelujah. When you are not sure, when you know that you can't handle the small demons in your family, you can't handle small demons in your office, now that is not the time for you to go out and do ministry and lay hands on people and cast out devils. Stop. Wait. You need time, brother. You need time, sister, so that God will be able to thoroughly equip you, first of all, to use the protective parts of the armor well, and then he will give to you the use of the sword and the shoes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Should we go ahead with the sword and the shoes now? So I told you the shoes signify the priests. The shoe signifies the foot of the priest. And it's, can you mute or give me the access of the host? Can you mute? I think by mistake, Sister Joanne is not on mute. Because it would bring disturbance when I'm speaking. No, you are on mute, Sister Counsel. Yeah, okay, thank you, Sister. Okay, so the shoes signify the foot of the priest, and specifically I told you the evangelical priests, and the sword is the word of God and also the presence of God. Hallelujah. Now, first of all, what I was speaking about, it's in Joshua chapter number 5. Let's go to the book of Joshua. Let's go to the book of Joshua. Okay, I think I am going to read all the chapters. I am going to go through Joshua chapter number 3, 4, 5 and 6. But first of all, I will start with chapter number 5. And I am going to read the whole chapter. So give ear to what I am reading from the Bible. Okay? Hallelujah. So Joshua chapter number 5, verse number 1. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. So this is after the waters of the Jordan were stopped by the feet of the priest. We will come to that afterwards, but let us see this chapter first. Okay. Verse number 2, at that time the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourself and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war had died in the wilderness on the way, after they had come out of Egypt. See that? All the men of war, originally who were supposed to fight the war, what happened to them? They all died. Everyone, not even one survived. Why? Because there was an army. Listen to me. I am speaking prophetically about seasons. I am speaking prophetically. There was an army that is originally chosen by God. Previous to us, there was people, pastors, evangelists, prophets, but because they did not make use of the armor, the protective elements of the armor. God will allow them to pass away and raise up a new generation that are led by the Joshuas and the Calebs, who have the sword and the shoes. The real army, the men of war, the Bible is saying, they all died. And this is a generation that is a new generation. And Joshua, that's why, had to circumcise them at the command of the Lord, consecrate them to be in the army of God. Hallelujah. Okay. For the children of Israel, verse number 6. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people who were the men of war, who came out of Egypt, were consumed. Hallelujah. I am telling you, God is serious with his business. If you are not able to protect your own mind, heart, and life, he will not let you go and conquer territories for him. God is serious. The Bible says these people, the men of war, were in the wilderness, walked the wilderness 40 years, and they were all consumed. I told the reason why they were consumed. Because they were not able to protect their own heart and mind, did not have the shield of faith, did not have the belt of truth, did not use it, did not give due respect to the armor. Hallelujah. To the word of God. That's why they were consumed. Because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show that the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers, that he would give us a land flowing with milk and honey. Then Joshua circumcised their sons, whom he raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not been circumcised on the way. God is raising up a new army. God is in the business. I am telling you prophetically, God is now in the business of raising up a new breed of the spirit. And believe me or not, we are sitting here because we are in that season. That's why we are sitting here. He's raising up this new breed, the old breed. He has tested, given them time, given chances, but they did not use the armor. Now, that's why prophetically I'm giving this teaching. Hallelujah, that we have to be thoroughly equipped with the armor. First of all, equipped with the protective parts of the armor, so that the Lord can give us the sword and the shoes. Hallelujah. Verse number 8. So it was, when they had finished circumcising all the people, that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were all healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua. Now listen to this. Verse number 9. Okay, very important. Then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. Hallelujah. What? This day. It's a start of a new season. So the reproach, that means, what is the meaning of that? Though they came out of Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, and were traveling in the wilderness, but the reproach of Egypt was not taken from them. But now the Lord is saying, after the new army is consecrated to serve the Lord is saying, now the reproach of Egypt, I have what? Taken away from you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't it teach you something? It teaches us that the reproach of Egypt in our lives, the reproach of slavery and bondage in our lives, stay until we are not thoroughly equipped in the protective parts of the armor. When we are thoroughly equipped and God can entrust us with the sword and the shoes, then the reproach, the bondage, the influence of the past will be completely taken from over our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Most of the Christians, you have to realize that it's not by accepting Jesus, no devil will touch you. Oh, it's not like that. After you accept Jesus, hell will break loose against you. Hallelujah. And then God allows attacks in your life. I am telling you, God allows it so that you will be thoroughly equipped. Hallelujah. To protect your mind with the helmet of salvation, to protect your heart with the breastplate of righteousness. You will learn to take up the shield of faith. You will learn to develop the perspective of faith. You will learn to develop to trust the things that are unseen and not the things that are seen. God will equip you, believers. And when you are thoroughly, you know, whatever attacks that are coming in your life, storms, winds, and then you, because you are thoroughly equipped, nothing is shaking you. Hallelujah. And nothing is shaking you at that time. There will be a deliverance that will happen to you. And the deliverance that will happen to you is the reproach of Egypt will leave you. The reproach of Egypt. Hallelujah. Can I have an hallelujah? The reproach of Egypt, oh my God, will leave you. Amen. The Lord said to the people of Israel, this day, Joshua, I take away the reproach of Egypt from over my people. I take away the reproach of Egypt from over my people. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And then let us go ahead. Let us go ahead. Verse number 10, it says, now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal. Hallelujah. And kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. And they ate the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land. And the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. You know why? Because I will come to that now. This is happening. Remember, this Gilgal, this place, is on the other side of the Jordan. They have crossed over Jordan, and the way they crossed over Jordan is with the sword and the shoe strategy. Okay, after they, since they have crossed over Jordan, and now they are in the land of Canaan, in Gilgal, they have entered there. The priesthood of the Lord is established, and because the priesthood of the Lord is established there, they can the land that land became a table for them to eat from it, and they started to eat from it, and that's why the manna ceased. Okay, hallelujah. Are we understanding? I told you I can't go into detail about this table and food. I told you about altars. I told you about priesthood already. I have preached sermons about that. Okay. As saying that priesthoods have tables where they eat, the priests eat who are serving the specific altar, that specific entity or demon. The same, the priests eat of the table. So when now God is establishing his reign now, starting from this the next place, which is Gilgal, and that's why one season has ended. Hallelujah. When your food changes, that means you have transited from one season into another. You did not get that revelation. When your food changes, the kind of revelation coming to you comes with a higher level. You have entered a new season. Are you understanding now? Hallelujah. When now no longer manna, now eat the produce of Canaan. Hallelujah. You have shifted from a season of defense to a season of conquering. And whacking the enemy out in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. That's why the food changed. That's why the food changed. Hallelujah. Okay, so that is the meaning why the food changed. The manna ceased. No longer manna. Now the produce of the land of Canaan. Hallelujah. So let's go ahead. Verse number 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, okay. I will come to verse 13 afterwards. Okay, that is an important one. And let me go now back to Joshua chapter number 3. Joshua chapter number 3. So now, when I start with Joshua chapter number 3, I want to give a subtitle now. Starting off with Joshua chapter number 3, the subtitle is The Sword and the Shoes to Possess the Gates of the Enemy. the sword and the shoes, what? To possess the gate of the enemy. Okay. Now, Joshua chapter number 3. Let's go there. Then, verse number 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, now listen to this. This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, I will be with you. You shall command the priest who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you in the Jordan. Now therefore take for yourself 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord, the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. What is happening here? Now here begins the conquest of Canaan, or the conquering of Canaan. Here begins the conquest of Canaan from right from Jordan. Now listen to me. The river of Jordan is not a normal river in the realms of the spirit. In the realms of the spirit, the river of Jordan was a gate to the land of Canaan. What it was? I don't have time now. You can see the maps afterwards. Now listen to me, the maps afterwards. The entrance into the land of Canaan was guarded by a spiritual gate of the waters that was the river of Jordan. Hallelujah. For Joshua and his army now to get inside the land of Canaan to start conquering it, they had to first defeat the gatekeepers and the gate that led to the conquering of the land of Canaan. Do you remember I preached many series about spiritual gates, and I told you that demonic territories are guarded by gates and gatekeepers. Hallelujah. Spiritual gates guarded by gates and gatekeepers. So the first thing where the sword and the shoes strategy was used was to possess the gates of the enemy. Before you, hallelujah, if you want to go inside a territory to conquer it, first of all, even to get inside of it, you need to possess the gates first. The gate is the headquarter, the spiritual headquarter where the gatekeepers are who guard the territory. The gates need to be defeated, and the gate was the river of Jordan, was the gate to the land of Canaan. Okay, hallelujah. Are we together until now? Listen to me. To conquer Canaan, the gate of Canaan was the river Jordan, and Israel had to possess the gate to start the conquest of Canaan. Okay, now they could possess the gate because they had this defeating the gates in their DNA because they were the descendants of Abraham. See in Genesis chapter number 22. Turn with me to Genesis chapter number 22 and look at the promise that the Lord gave to Abraham. Look at the promise first. Genesis chapter number 22, verse number 17. Someone read that. I want someone to read that. 22, verse number 17.
Go ahead. Too many people reading that. Go ahead.
And in blessing, I will bless thee, and in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies.
What is that? Thy seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. This was the promise given to Abraham. Hallelujah. And the strategy to fulfill the promise of possessing the gates is the sword and the shoes. Do we look at that? Remember Psalm chapter number 24, verse 7 to 10, where David writes a psalm and he says, "Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, for the King of glory to come in. He is the King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle." Hallelujah. Now, you have to understand that that verse, what is that verse in the book of Exodus, I think. Yes, Exodus chapter number 15, verse 3. It says the Lord is the man of war. Hallelujah. This Lord, we have to understand God is a captain, is the commander of an army. When I started to read the Bible, the Lord, the Holy Spirit started to explain me that this Bible is a book of warfare where we are the chosen warriors of God, chosen to combat against the powers of the devil, against the army of the devil. The Lord is the man of war. And the reason I told you when I was teaching on spiritual gates, that the gates of Jerusalem, David went through the gates of Jerusalem. A hireling who is not a shepherd, he will not go by the door, not go by the gate. He will go another way because he is a hireling, Jesus said. Hallelujah. Why? Because he does not has authority to go in by the gate. But the one who has authority will go in by the gate. And the one who has the authority is the one who carries the sword and has the shoes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? And David, even he went with the same strategy. He went with the sword and the shoes. When he did not, listen, David failed first to get into Jerusalem with the Ark of God because he put the Ark on the bullock cart. You know that, right? Hallelujah. So the Ark, he was not able to go in Jerusalem with the sword and the shoes. Then he realized that he made a mistake. He sinned against the Lord. And then he brought the priests of the Lord, the Levites, and took the ark. The ark which carries the word is the sword, and the feet of the priest are the shoes of the gospel, with which every gate will open up to the sword and the shoes. Every demonic gate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? And when he entered Jerusalem with the sword and the shoes, that is why this man David, who was a shepherd, was able to apply the reign of God through Israel over the nations of the earth. No nation was able to stand against the kingdom of Israel as long as David was there on the throne. Because he possessed the gates of the enemy with the sword and the shoes. Are you understanding now? Are you understanding? It's in our DNA. It's in your DNA because you are the seed of God that you shall possess the gates of your enemies. Everyone say, "I shall possess the gates of my enemies." Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Amen. And the way we do that is by the sword, is with the sword and the shoes. Now, what we read is, what God is saying to Joshua is, Joshua, the army will not go, the priests will go, because the priest is the real army of the realms of the spirit. The priest is the army, the priesthood, the priests are the army who shall possess the gate of the enemy. And here, the gate to the land of Canaan was the river Jordan. The waters were the gate. And the Lord said, let the priest who carry my ark, my word, which is the sword, hallelujah, go and step in the waters of Jordan. As soon as they step, their feet will step on that, along with the ark, that is the sword, and the shoes, they will step on that. The gates, the powers will be defeated, and the gates will open up to my children for them to enter in. Hallelujah. The sword and the shoes. Are we understanding? That is the meaning of the sword. That is what the sword and the shoe will do. It will lead the, hallelujah, you, my brother, my sister, are called to be priest. And priest is not only serving God. As a priest, you are supposed to lead a whole bunch of generations into God's promised land. Yes. Hallelujah. When you stand in the waters with the feet and with the sword, and when you stand your ground, the Bible says, until, now I will read that verse in Joshua chapter number 3, where we were reading. It says that until all of them crossed over, the priest stood there with the ark on dry land. The priest stood there. Hallelujah. If you take your position with the shoes and the sword, standing in the territory of enemy, hallelujah, holding on to the sword and having the shoes, a generation will go into the promised land. If you hold on to your position, hallelujah. If you hold on to that position, a generation will move into the promised land. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Joshua chapter number 3. Let's come back there. Let's come back to Joshua chapter number 3. Mm-hmm. Let's jump to verse number 17. Okay. Verse number 17. Then the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed over completely over the Jordan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's time, priests of God, intercessors, it's time for you, hallelujah, to take up your position with the sword and the shoes and hold on, stand firm in the Lord, stand firm in the word, that is the sword, stand firm in the shoes, that is the ministry of prayer. If you stand firm in the sword and the shoes, my God, you will be a door for so many people to come in the kingdom of God. Not only, I'm not talking about the kingdom of God, I'm talking, you will make many people to reach to heaven and to pass the judgment seat of Christ. Hallelujah. Because we are talking about the spiritual promised land. Apostle Paul said, it is his mission to perfect every man perfect before Christ. He does not only wants to benefit people with healing anointing, healing them. After getting healed, healing is temporary. Giving them food, giving them doing miracles and you know, oh man of God doing miracles, the lame are walking, all those things are good. But after those things, are people being discipled so that they can stand clean before the judgment seat of Christ? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you have an exam tomorrow, an exam of mathematics, will you study English or any other subject? No, you will read mathematics. The exam that we are going to give is the real exam is at the judgment seat of Christ. What matters is, do we pass that test when we stand before the Lord? Do we stand clean there? The works will not matter. Whatever we have done, casted out demons, prophesied in the name of Jesus, preached taught, build churches, whatever. The exam is when we stand before the Lord, that the Lord should not say, get away from me, you who practice lawlessness. I don't even know you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When people of God, when I want to tell you, when you are ready to hold your ground with the sword and the shoes, you will have a whole generation to go to heaven. Hallelujah. You will have a whole generation. That is our objective. That is our objective. If you are in ministry, many people, their objective is not leading people to heaven, to the promised land. It is to give them temporary excitement by doing this miracle, praying for them. Oh, you got a financial breakthrough. I prophesied this and that. All those things are temporary. But are they being equipped to enter promised land? Are they being equipped? I still remember that vision that I had in 2019, after which the Lord asked me to step into full-time ministry. Before that, for 7 continuous years, I was working in the corporate. I was working in the secular corporate offices. And that vision in 2019, what I had, I saw the space, like a very huge space, like of the space in the universe. And I saw a very, very huge cross there in the space. And I saw people from all the sides, so many people coming under the cross. And they carried that big cross, all of them. And they started to walk towards a certain direction. And from a far distance, I saw that they were walking towards a city, a land, which was very far, but they were walking. And even as I was seeing the vision, the Lord spoke to me, Rahul, I have chosen you to equip people to deny themselves, carry their cross, and make it to the promised land. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding? So even though I have the gifts, but I concentrate on the calling, specific area where the Lord has called me, in equipping people so that they can reach heaven. They can stand clean before the judgment seat of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we hold on to the sword and the shoes and stand firm in the grounds of the Lord. Hallelujah. In his word, in the faith. Hallelujah. A generation will go to heaven. I still remember the words of this evangelist, Reinhard Bonnke. He said, my agenda is to fill heaven and to empty hell. The way we will be able to do this is with the ministry of the sword and the shoes. Hallelujah. Amen. So that is the sword and the shoes. You see that? The ark, the sword and the shoes, it opened the gate, and the people of Israel and the army of Israel, the physical army, marched into the territory. They crossed over the Jordan. And there, once the gates are open, then the conquest of Jordan starts. The first thing that we need to defeat is to defeat the gates. Hallelujah. Now, I don't want to go into gates because I have already taken 3 series on the spiritual gates. So all those who want to go back to refer to it, it's on our ministry channel in the YouTube, Glorify Jesus International. Hallelujah. Okay. So what did I say? The river of Jordan was the gate to the land of Canaan. And now the first thing that the sword and the shoe strategy did was to possess the gates of the enemy. Now, after they have possessed the gates, the Lord led them with the same strategy to start to conquer territories. And the first territories that they were supposed to conquer was what? Jericho. But before going to Jericho, let us read Joshua chapter number 4. Joshua chapter number 4. I'm going to read the whole chapter, maybe the most of the chapter. So Joshua chapter number 4, before going to the strategy of the sword and the shoes, to conquer Jericho, let us read Joshua chapter number 4, which talks about the memorial of the stones on which the priest of the Lord stand. Okay, let's see what it is. Joshua chapter number 4. It says, and it came to pass, verse number 1, and it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourself 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourself 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Okay. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you should take up a stone on his shoulder. Now, this is a big stone they were supposed to take up. So take up one stone on your shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that is the sword. Hallelujah. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The first thing that the Lord told after they possessed the gates of Canaan, that was the river Jordan, and they conquered the gate. And after they entered the land, the first thing that the Lord instructed them was where the priest stood, take stones from there and erect a memorial. Erect a memorial. So, brother, can you put Brother Wandry on mute, because I think he's not. Brother Wandry, can you go on mute? Okay. I don't have the control here, so I cannot do it. So, okay, no problem. So listen, so the first thing when they entered into Canaan, what the Lord told them to do was, first of all, with the stones where the priest stood, the Lord asked them to construct a memorial. The memorial signified an altar. As soon as they entered the land, it signified an altar. When you read 1 Kings, when you read 1 Kings chapter number 18, verse number 30 and 32, let's go there. 1 Kings chapter number 18. 1 Kings chapter number 18. Try to focus. Don't let us not be distracted. 1 Kings chapter number 18, verse 30 and 32. Okay, let's go there. Hallelujah. So it talks about chapter number 18, 1 Kings, verse number 30. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And see how he constructed the altar. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. You see that? The first thing when they came out, when they came into the land of Canaan, possessing the gates of the enemy through the sword and the shoes, what they were supposed to build was an altar unto the Lord, a memorial unto the Lord. And that altar would be a sign, like not only an altar, but a testament to the generations after them, that the Lord was the one who stopped the waters of Jordan so that the people of God crossed over Jordan on dry land. Hallelujah. When you fight the battles of the Lord, everything that you do for the Lord gets recorded as a memorial to be given to the generations after you. Hallelujah. Amen. The mighty works that you did with the Lord and for the Lord, whatever you have done gets recorded as a memorial people will remember what you have done, and they will use, oh, this man of God, when he was there, this is what the Lord accomplished through him. And the testimony of the testament of your doings will be used as a testament to the next generation, so that they can be reminded of the might of the Lord. Hallelujah. Can we say that Lord, use me in such a way that my life becomes a testament, that people will read my life, even the generations to come after me? Hallelujah. First of all, the Lord said, you construct this memorial to remind the children, the generations, telling them how the Lord brought you from the rivers of Jordan, how the water stopped and the Lord brought you on dry land. First of all, it's a testament. Secondly, what I'm saying, it's an altar as soon as they entered. Altar, what did I say? You remember in the altar? Altars are the markings of God over a territory, that this territory spiritually belongs to heaven, belongs to God. They are the markings that I told you about, the four altars Abraham constructed. They were the markings of God over a territory. The last altar that he built, remember what is the last altar? On the Mount of Moriah. And by the way, Moriah is Jerusalem. Hallelujah. He built that altar at the cost of his own son, Isaac. And that altar became a mark of God over the territory of Jerusalem. That's why Jerusalem still belongs to Jehovah. It belongs to Jehovah because Abraham built that altar. You see that? That's why David was able to enter through the gates of Jerusalem. And now there is a fight going on for the city of Jerusalem. The Lucifer wants to possess Jerusalem, the earthly Jerusalem I'm talking about. That's why Jerusalem is the most disturbed place on the face of the earth. You know that. Every time there is something or the other. Because that is the war going on for the conquest of Jerusalem. But the Lord, mighty in battle, hallelujah, our God, who is the man of war, the commander of the army, shall take over Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Shall take over Jerusalem and overthrow the Antichrist who sits and tries to possess the throne of Jerusalem. Any which ways, I will take the mystery of Jerusalem. Someday I will take that sermon. But as of now, they built an altar with 12 stones. Now Elijah is doing the same thing. Remember what is this verse about? It is about the prophets of Baal and Ashtoreth. When they were trying to bring down fire did not come. And Elijah repaired the broken altar with the 12 stones. Hallelujah. Why? Reconquer Israel, bring back Israel in the hands of God. Because Israel at that time was taken over Baal, was taken over by Jezebel, by the worship of Baal and Ashtoreth. So again, he built this altar by the 12 stones, by the revelation of what happened in the strategy of the sword and the shoes. Hallelujah. He built with 12 stones and brought the territory back under the jurisdiction of God and killed all the prophets of that false god who sat at the table of Jezebel to eat and to partake of the priesthood of the demonic altar. All of them he killed. And the people then confessed that Jehovah is God. Hallelujah. The Lord is God. Okay, any which ways. Remember, when after the waters of the flood dried up during the time of Noah, when the floods dried up, Noah came out of the ark and he did not do party because, you know, I think I would have done party because I saw the whole earth before me vacant and no one there, only me and my family. Everything is for me. Let's do party. He did not do party. He built an altar there first. When you have a victory, most of us will party. No, when we have a victory, the first thing to do is to build an altar again. Build an altar again after the victory. Because this is not the only victory that God wants to give you. There are so many victories that the Lord wants to give you. And don't be satisfied in one victory. There are so many victories ahead. So after you get through the gate, hallelujah, they build an altar with the 12 stones as it was commanded to Joshua. And they brought the stones that it was a memorial, it was an altar. Hallelujah. And then after building up the altar, the Lord started to instruct Joshua how to bring down Jericho and destroy Jericho completely. Hallelujah. So let us now go to the conquering of Jericho again. So the subtitle I want to give to Joshua chapter number 6 now. Joshua chapter number 6. The subtitle is the sword and the shoes strategy to conquer Jericho. Okay, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Joshua chapter number 6. Let's go there. So it says, now verse number one. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, okay, before that, let's just jump on to Joshua chapter number 5. We missed something there in verse number 13. Okay, let's go there first. Joshua 5 verse 13. And then let us continue to come into Joshua chapter number 6. Verse number 13, it says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. This was an angel, a warfare angel, commander of an army of angels. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. This is the same thing that happened with Moses. Remember, when the Lord appeared, take the sandal off your foot. The Lord himself came in the burning bush to instruct Moses and ordain Moses with, at that time, it was the rod. Now, I want to give you another verse now. I want to try to explain you the verses in the Bible, okay? Joshua chapter number 4, verse 23. Read that verse. Let's read. Joshua chapter number 4, verse number 23. It says, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had what? Crossed over. Until we had crossed over. Now, what Moses was given was the rod. And what Joshua has been given is the sword and the shoes for the conquering of territories. Listen to me. The rod was used at the Red Sea and the sword was used at the Jordan River and Jericho. What is the meaning? Why the rod at the Red Sea? Okay, when you read Revelation chapter number 19, verse number 15, let's go there. Let me make you understand that meaning. Revelation chapter number 19, verse number what? 15. It says, now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. Now the sword is the words of Jesus that comes. This sword is supposed to strike the nation, destroy the nations completely. That was given to Joshua. And he himself will rule with a rod of iron. Okay? The sword is supposed to destroy, strike, and for conquering. But the rod is to implement rule over the enemy. The rod, in other words, listen to me, the rod is to keep the enemy in control. Are you understanding? The rod is to keep, what do you use if there is a dog, like a rod or a stick to keep the dog away, to keep him away from you? That is for what the rod is used. Hallelujah. The rod is used by God, because demons and Lucifer, do you think they are submissive? Do you think they will bow down before Jesus? They are proud spirits. They are rebellious spirits. They will not bow down, but still they bow down before Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus uses the rod to forcefully make them submissive. That is what for the rod, are you understanding? So the rod was given to Moses to keep Pharaoh and the powers of Egypt under submission to God. Hallelujah. So that Israel can come out of Egypt and they can fulfill the purposes of God. For that purpose, the rod is used against witchcraft, against sorcery. Hallelujah. But now when you keep the enemy with the rod under the submission of God, you have the sword now to destroy them, to attack them and to conquer them. Hallelujah. That is the two things that are written there. The Lord led the people to cross through Jordan on dry land as the Lord parted the Red Sea to bring his people out of Egypt by keeping this proud Egypt under, making them forcefully submit to God and his authority. Hallelujah. Making them forcefully submit to God and his authority. Are you understanding? Okay. That is just, I was just telling you the meaning of the rod, the difference between the parting of the Red Sea and the stopping of the waters of Jordan. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, an angel came and appeared to Joshua. An angel came and what? He appeared to Joshua and he said, take off your sandal, because now he is training Joshua in a different season. It's not to keep an enemy under control. They have already conquered the spirits of Egypt by the breastplate, by the helmet and all those things. Now it's time for you to operate in a different dimension of the sword and the shoes. Now this angel, the Bible says that this man is also carrying a sword in his hand. So angels also have sword, but they cannot conquer territories on earth. You know why? Because they are not given the jurisdiction of earth, but of heavenly realms. But they are linked to men who operate in the sword and the shoes to give them commands and directions, so that along with them, the spiritual hosts of God, of heaven, along with the intercessors, can take over territories. Hallelujah. Remember when Nebuchadnezzar was cut off from his throne? The Bible says that tree was cut off at the decree of the holy ones and the watchers from heaven. So angels of the army of God, along with you and me, they are interested to fulfill the mission of conquering demonic territories. Hallelujah. Many of the tongues, when we speak in tongues, many of the tongues are angelic tongues. We are communicating with angels and hallelujah. We are communicating with angels of the army of God, so that we are collaborating and communicating, and in sync we are destroying the principality of a certain territory when we speak in tongues. There are different kinds of tongues, by the way, angelic tongues, tongues to edify our own self. Hallelujah. Tongues that releases attacks on the enemy's kingdom, different kinds of tongues, any which ways, not going into that. But an angel carrying the sword, he is also a commander of the army. Joshua, the commander of the army on earth, communicating with the commander of the army in the realms of God. That is the angel. Hallelujah. Okay, that is how things happen in the realm of the spirit. Joshua chapter number 6. Let's go there now. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, and every man straight before him. Hallelujah. Now the strategy was 7 days and seven rounds. 7 days they had to go round, and on the seventh day they had to take seven rounds. The strategy was what? 7 days and seven rounds. The 7 day and seven rounds that God asked them to do around the walls of Jericho signifying the refined sharp sword ready to be released to penetrate through the stronghold or the thick walls of Jericho. I want to take you to a verse in Psalm chapter number 12 verse 6. Psalm chapter number 12 verse 6. Hallelujah. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified what? Seven times. The word, the sword, hallelujah, is so pure. It's so sharp. Hebrews chapter number 4, verse 11. The word of God is living and powerful, sharper than a double-edged sword. Very sharp. And it can cut through the division of the bones and the marrow and the soul and the spirit. That is the quality of the sword. Hallelujah. The word. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? The strategy that the Lord is introducing to Joshua is a strategy from of the spirit. Every territory, listen to me, every territory that Lord led his army to conquer, there was a different strategy that was applied. Remember, to fight against the Amalekites, Moses had to raise up his two hands. And Aaron and Hur supported the hands. Until Moses' hands were lifted up, Joshua won the battle. When his hands were going down, he was getting defeated. That was a different strategy for a certain kind of principality. Hallelujah. Now there are different strategies when you read the Bible. When Gideon was supposed to attack the Midianites, what was the strategy? He was given a pitcher, a torch. Remember that? So these are strategies from the realms of the spirit. These people did not fight with their strength. They fought with a revelation. They fought with the sword, which is the revelation of the word. And here, the principality is like thick walls. No one could forget about defeating Jericho. No one could even get inside Jericho because Jericho had these thick walls. And these are demonic walls, which were supported by demonic strength and power. Hallelujah. For these walls to be broken, the sharpness and the strength of the sword had to be released. So God told them seven times and 7 days. Seven rounds and 7 days to release the sharp-edged sword of God to penetrate through the walls and break the walls. Hallelujah. Amen. Again, the ark of God was supposed to go ahead and the priest was supposed to go ahead. The sword and the shoes, they were supposed to go ahead and the walls fell down. When they blasted the trumpet, long blast, hallelujah, that trumpet sound is in the New Testament speaking of tongues. Now, I cannot go in detail because I have loaded you with a lot of revelation, so I can't go, but that trumpet sound was speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. When I have time and when the Spirit leads me, I will take that topic in one of my sermons. But that was speaking in tongues. But the sword and the shoes. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter number 52, verse number 6. Okay, we will pray now. We'll go to some verses. We will pray. Isaiah chapter number 52. Hallelujah. I want people of God this time to pray. This is a season where God wants his people to be thoroughly equipped so that they can use the sword and the shoes. 52 verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaim peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaim salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us shod our feet with the gospel of peace, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Hallelujah. Because we are supposed to go to territories. Hallelujah. Not only save souls, but save territories for God. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2. Jesus has already begun fighting with his sword. Jesus has already begun fighting with his sword. Revelation chapter number 2. It says in verse number 16, repent or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. With the sword of my mouth. Jesus has already started. This is about a church, inside a church. Jesus has already started fighting with wickedness right inside the church. Drive out wickedness with the sword of his mouth. Then let's go to what I referred earlier, Revelation chapter number 19. Hallelujah. Let's pray with this verse. Verse number 15. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. With it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Father, we come before you. We come before you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I pray, Lord, let this people, Lord, let the global body of Christ, the end time army, Lord, it has been time, but we are not yet thoroughly equipped in the protecting parts of the armor. It's high time that we put on the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth and the shield of faith, Lord, fighting the battles in our own mind and living a life consecrated for God, because the protective parts of the armor protects us so that we can be consecrated and wholly given to God. And when we are consecrated and wholly given to God, oh Lord, the sword and the shoes starts to operate through our lives. Oh Lord, I pray for that dimension, oh Lord, where your church will rise up and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against them. Hallelujah. This is the purpose of the body of Christ, of brothers and sisters. This is the purpose why we have gathered here, that the gates of Hades shall not prevail against the body of Christ. The gates of Hades, it will only happen when we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the shoes of the gospel of peace. Oh Lord, it's time to cross over the Jordan. It's time to break the walls of Jericho. It's time to drive out the enemy. It's time to bring the jurisdiction, the kingdom of heaven on earth. Oh Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth in every nation as it is done in heaven. Thy will, thy kingdom come in the nations of the earth, Lord. In the nations that have joined here, Lord. Hallelujah. In Canada, in the US, in Guyana, Lord. Hallelujah. In South America, Lord. In Africa, in Kenya, Lord. Hallelujah. In Nigeria, in India, in Pakistan, and in all the nations of the earth. Father, you are preparing army. You are preparing the Joshuas and the Caleb, Lord. You are preparing a new breed of the Spirit, Lord. The old army have wasted their life, Lord. That season has ended. Our food is changing. Our table is changing. The altars are changing. The dimensions are changing. Hallelujah. God is raising you up into the new realms, and your food will change the way you receive. Hallelujah. Shift your people tonight into the season of Joshua, into the season of conquering, into the season of driving out devils, Lord. Shift them, Lord. Hallelujah. For those who are still delaying, let them be equipped thoroughly, Lord. Let them be equipped thoroughly, Lord, to protect their own heart, mind, and lives, Lord, with the protective parts of the armor, Lord. It's high time, says the Lord. We need to be on our toes. It's high time. We are just wasting our time fighting and getting bothered by small demons. How you will fight with those things that God has ordained you to fight with. Hallelujah. Ahla rabosa prata karaba la robonchi altra raba. Landra bone andra labodribe. The Lord wants to speak to us through a verse in Jeremiah. Let me find out that verse. Hallelujah. La Roboshia. Jeremiah chapter number 12, verse 5. Jeremiah chapter number 12, verse 5. If you have run with footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted they have wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? Hallelujah. God is speaking to some Christians. He is saying that if men have wearied you, how will you contend with horses? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is speaking to you. He is saying, if you are bothered by local demons, by family demons, by office demons, how will you do what I have called you to do? Why don't you put on the helmet? Why don't you put on the breastplate? Protect your heart and mind. Stand these attacks. I am training you because there are major attacks that will come. And I am training you in this small ground so that I can put you in the battlefield. Hallelujah, where I will use you to bring the glory of my name to the nations, to bring and bear my name before Gentiles and before kings. I want to use you, my daughter, my son. But why don't you submit to me in the smaller levels? Hallelujah. 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 God is asking you, hallelujah, put on the armor. Put on the armor so that you can stand the wiles of the enemy. You can stand in this evil day. Hallelujah. Many of you, says the Lord, are being shaken by small storms and domestic storms and winds of life. How can you combat against powers that are greater than those small storms? The Lord asks you to take ground. Hallelujah. Stay grounded in the word and in the faith and put on the armor. Hallelujah. So that you can withstand the wiles of the enemy and stand in the battle. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you. I submit